Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to be reading verses 23 to 31. I probably should know that by now. I'll give you just a second to get there. Hear the word of the Lord. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, give us an ordinary faith. And Lord, faith is a gift. It is a gift. Lord, though it doesn't involve any work on our part, just to receive and rest in Jesus. Lord, would you give us a greater share of this gift today? Lord, let Jesus be formed in us and let your name be glorified. Holy Spirit, have your way with us. Open our eyes and our ears. Let our hearts understand and turn. And Lord, run to Jesus. We gladly run to you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. You know, I'm what some in our congregation would call a pew baby. I grew up in the church. This is, there's never really been a time that I haven't gone to church. That hasn't always served my self-righteousness well. But as I've encountered this chapter of Hebrews again and again throughout my life, I've often heard this described as a sort of hall of faith. Like, these are the heroes of the faith. Are you familiar with that? Yeah? Now, it's true that what we are hearing are examples for us. Right? They are truly examples for us. An example like this is a way for God to encourage us to keep going when we consider what they went through and we consider our own circumstances. But these aren't spiritual superheroes. That's the problem with thinking of this as like the hall of heroes of the faith. These aren't superheroes. They're not supermen and superwomen. The point in this whole chapter is that they had to believe in exactly the same ways that you have to believe and I have to believe. In when we get beyond this into chapter 12, it's going to, right at the beginning of chapter 12, it's going to describe all of these who lived by faith as a great cloud of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses to Jesus' resurrection and to the faithfulness of God. They are there to spur you on. Spur you on at exactly the points where you are having trouble believing now and tomorrow. The point that we're seeing again and again in this chapter is that anyone who has ever obeyed God has done so by faith. No one has ever done the will of God apart from faith. So we're talking about faith. There's a lot of by faiths in what we read, right? And it's been a few weeks. I know Ryan emphasized last week the faithfulness of God, and I hope you were able to hear that. If you weren't, go back and listen to that. But it's good for us to be reminded again and again. Why were we talking about faith? It didn't just come out of the blue. We're talking about faith because just before this, God had commanded us that we would draw near to Him. In fact, that's what we've been told over and over and over again, that all of this is so that we would draw near to God in Jesus. And we've been told over and over and over again to hold fast to the hope of our and confidence that we have in Jesus. The hope of our confession. Hold fast to that without wavering, we were just told later in chapter 10. But the thing is, to draw near to God, we have to believe that Jesus is able, perfectly able, to open the way. If apart from believing that, we won't come. And to be honest, apart from believing that God wants us to come, we're also not going to come. To hold fast to the hope of our confession, we must believe that the God who promises is faithful to fulfill all His promises. This is what Ryan emphasized last week when we looked at the faith of Abraham. A few weeks ago, we talked about God commanded us to consider one another too, in order to provoke one another to love and good works. We in order to do that, we must believe that the day of Jesus' coming is drawing near. All these things require faith. That's why we're talking about faith. We cannot come to God apart from faith in who He is and what He has done. But there's a couple other reasons here. We are talking about faith because, as I already hinted at, the people that heard this letter experience the same things we experience. You know, our present circumstances are always lead us to believe that we took a wrong turn somewhere. Suffering and affliction and disease and grief and death and insult and reproach and all of these things come our way, and we experience this life that seems like we're just waiting. Psalm 13, that Hope read earlier. It was Psalm 13, right? I got that right? Okay, Psalm 13 is about that waiting in this crushing space. In what we looked at last week, if you just look a little bit up the page, you find that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they longed for this promise to be fulfilled, and they greeted it from afar as people who hoped for a better country, as strangers and exiles in this world. And that is the truth of who we are in this world. We're talking about faith because we need to endure. True faith endures, and endurance only comes by faith. Hebrews is trying to persuade us, hold fast, keep going, go on. Jesus is better than you think he is. Keep going. We exist in each other's lives, at least in part, for that reason, to encourage each other. Keep going. Hold fast. As you look at the text here, if you still have your Bible open, there's 7 times we hear the words by faith in this little section. Let's just track real closely with what each of those were talking about. In verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses' parents overcame their fear of the king's edict, their king's word, and they hid Moses away. They looked at their child and they said no to what the king of Egypt had decreed. In verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he chose to be mistreated with God's people rather than take up the privilege that he would have as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Then in verse 27, by faith, Moses left Egypt and he overcame fear of the king's anger. And then we hear described 3 events that involved both people who believed and people who did not believe. We had the Passover where God came in wrath. God came in wrath upon Egypt, and everyone who did not have their doorpost, their home covered by the blood of the Lamb were judged. It wasn't because, if you remember that story in Exodus, it wasn't because the people of Israel were the people of Israel that God passed over their houses. It was because they were covered by the blood of the Lamb. They had to do that. And anybody who did that was covered, whether they were a part of the people of Israel or not. And then we hear the event of the crossing of the Red Sea, where the people of God cross over, and then the Egyptians try to cross over. The people of God were saved. In unbelief, the Egyptians crossed over and were drowned. And then we talk about the fall of the walls of Jericho. By faith, they fell, and by faith, Rahab did not perish. Though all of those around her in their disobedience and their unbelief perished. That story, I don't know if you have ever read that story in the book of Joshua, but I mean, it says right here, Rahab was a prostitute, a pagan prostitute who was saved by faith. Rahab, if you don't know, is a great, 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 whatever, grandmother of Jesus. The people who they call disobedient here is using the exact same word that this writer had used to describe Israel in the wilderness. Those who did not believe and disobeyed God because they did not believe. All of these had ordinary faith, not superhuman faith. Ordinary faith involves these things. It endures under the assumption that faith always stands against great and powerful opposition. That is always the story. And ordinary faith endures suffering and mistreatment, not as a sign of faith's weakness or failure, but as a sign of its strength. And ordinary faith endures very simply as the line between life and death. Ordinary faith takes hold of Jesus despite any fear. Let's look at that. Let's look at that in verses 23 and 27. Ordinary faith takes hold of Jesus despite any fear. See, Moses' parents hid Moses. They saw something. It says that they saw that the child was beautiful, that there was something about the child, but there actually didn't have to be something about the child for them to look at the child and say, no, we're willing to stake our lives on hiding this child away. They didn't fear the decree of the king. Moses left Egypt in verse 27, not fearing the anger of the king. In both cases, they did not fear the anger of the king and the king's wicked word. Don't make any mistake here. The king that they're talking about was perhaps the most powerful human being in the world at the time. They didn't fear, though all the great weight of world power was turned against them. They did what was just and right with the weight of the world against them. Ordinary faith. We'd miss the point if we read that and we thought they didn't fear at all. Like that they weren't afraid at all. I don't think that's what the text is telling us here. No one has ever that has ever read Hebrews needed to hear about the faith of spiritual supermen and superwomen that never experienced fear. That's not the point. We all need to follow the faith of those who are actually like us, who experience the lives that we experience. It's not that they weren't afraid. It's that there was something greater than their fear. What could overcome the fear of the most powerful human authorities in the world? Moses' parents considered the Word of God and the life that they held in their hands to be of greater worth than the decree of the king, though it could have cost their lives. Moses endured in faith, it says, keeping the invisible God, I mean, literally constantly in view. Because he had his eyes fixed on the God who is invisible and not the worldly power that was standing before him, he overcame his fear. It is ordinary faith in Jesus who died and rose again that overcomes the fear we experience in this world. And there is a lot. Ordinary faith takes hold of Jesus despite any fear. Ordinary faith also regards conformity to Christ to be of greater worth than any earthly pleasure or treasure. Ordinary faith regards being one with Christ, conforming to Christ to be of greater worth than anything else, any pleasure or any treasure. In verses 24 to 26, as we're looking at our text today, it says, by faith, Moses refused the glory and the honor of being called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose to be mistreated with the people of God rather than enjoying sinful pleasure. What would be the sinful pleasure? Like maybe he could have worked from the inside and been like a Daniel in the court of Pharaoh, right? I mean, maybe he could have done that. But that would have just been an excuse for Moses. He saw the pain and the oppression of his people, and he chose, instead of taking the easy way out, he chose to be one of them and be counted as one of them. It says, and this is wild, it says he considered the reproach of Christ, the insults that he had to endure because of Christ, to be of greater worth than all the treasures of Egypt. This kind of reproach we already heard about a few weeks ago in chapter 10. The people who originally heard this letter had experienced these kind of insults already for their faith. He was saying, like, remember, it was a few weeks ago when he said, remember when you first were enlightened, when you first came to Jesus, and the reproaches that you endured, and the loss of your own personal property that you endured with joy. It's the same kind of reproach that it's saying Moses endured. Later, at the end of the letter, we're going to be encouraged and exhorted to bear Christ's reproach just as a way of life. The original hearers of this letter were living lives that were choosing this reproach by their faith. This was the reality of their lives. And this is the reality of ours. But how is it? Okay, Moses lived almost 1,500 years before Jesus. How did he bear the reproach of Christ? We don't have to do any big gymnastics to see what's being said here. It's not that, I mean, it's possible Moses had some vision of Jesus, right? But like the text doesn't tell us that. What is the text does tell us, though, that the suffering of God's people, which Moses chose, is what is summed up and filled up by Jesus at the cross. It is Jesus's, the reproach that Jesus bore is the fulfillment of all of the insults and the reproaches of the people of God from all times in all places. When Moses chose to identify in the suffering of his people, he was participating in the fullness of the suffering of Jesus. Don't kid yourself. The faith that Moses had in God was, though he did not know Jesus, though Jesus was not revealed yet, it was faith in Jesus. All who are saved in Jesus. There are no exceptions. God's people who live by faith are taken up into Christ. We're in union with Christ. We are in Christ. That's what, in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It is in Christ we are, our suffering, it becomes, I don't know what the word is. It becomes part of his suffering. These stories are not about superhero faith. They're about people in God's story who experience the same hardships, disappointments, and fears that we all do. All of their obedience to God was a response to their faith. It arose out of their faith. Believing that God exists. I mean, just what we've heard in chapter 11. Believing that God exists, that he rewards those who come to him. That they were the ones who believed were the ones who wrestle with an intense longing for God to fulfill his promise. They wrestle with the reality of being strangers and aliens and not feeling fully at home in this place and in this world. The ones who endured by faith as they look and long for a better country. This is ordinary faith. This is the faith that if you have come to Jesus, this is the faith that you have now. And guess what? You may say, I don't know that I could bear up under that. You're right. You couldn't. Only by faith, only by walking with Jesus would you be able to bear up under these things. True ordinary faith considers any conformity to Christ to be of greater worth than anything else. And because of this, it leads to life. The only life worth having in this world and in any world. There is simply no sinful worldly pleasure. There is no earthly treasure in which that is of greater worth than being in Christ and being united to him. Of being shaped by who he is and what he has done and by his intimate presence. Sometimes. What is often on my heart as I'm before you is that we speak about Jesus and Jesus seems like and I'm not able to describe the preciousness and the beauty and the love of Jesus to you in the ways that I want to. Like, it's there and I can't, it doesn't come out that way. What is it worth to you to be loved with infinite love? To take hold of the very reason that you were created. When it comes down to it, faith is difficult to hold on to in this world. There's not a human way. There's no amount of behavioral change. There's no accountability partners that you could take along for the ride that could keep you ultimately from falling away. The only thing that will keep you from falling away, the only thing that will keep faith front and center is the conviction that communion with Christ is the one thing in this world that is worth more than all else. It is the one thing that I cannot and I will not live without in this world. This must be our conviction because this is our way home. And all it means, guys, is not that you muster up some strength of your own, but that you put down all your strength. Drop all the things and come to Jesus with empty hands. Jesus is just simply the true and better. He is just simply true and better. Moses' parents looked at Moses when he was a baby and saw something extraordinary in him. Jesus is the true and better Moses who is the exact imprint of the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the true and better Moses who refused the privileges and the comforts of the powers of the kingdoms of this world. In fact, he came from heaven to come to be one of us. And he set aside all of those privileges so that he could come and be mistreated with God's people. And not only to suffer with them, but to suffer for them, for each and every one. Paul says, he loved me and he gave himself for me. There's no more beautiful words that I can think of. Jesus is the true and better Moses who considered, like Moses, the reproach of anything in this world a far greater worth than it was to gain the whole world. He did not fear the anger of any worldly power. He stood and he faced them down. In fact, let them hold and nail him down, as the song goes, so he could save them. He's the true and better Passover lamb whose blood shelters God's people from his wrath upon sin. He is the true and better Israel who crossed through the watery grave and out onto the other side, the dry land of resurrection life. He is the true and better one who shatters the might of nations with his shout, who shelters even the pagan prostitute who comes to him by faith and welcomes them in peace. Jesus is way better than you think he is. Way better. And he is worth every breath of your life. And here's the thing. He's not like somebody in this, and he's not like the powers of this world, who routinely take up his name and blaspheme his name. Because he doesn't take your life, he gives it. He gives it. This is who God is. Not the one who wants to take everything from you so that he gets all the power. He is the one with all the power who gives everything. Everything that you have is a gift. Your life, your breath, your salvation, your faith is a gift. Jesus is way better. Draw near to him. Draw near to God through him. Hold on. Hold on. I know that both our circumstances individually and as a body and as even a whole culture, like, it's crushing. It can be crushing. Hold on. Jesus has not gone anywhere. This isn't a bug in the system. Nothing that you experience is without meaning. Because Jesus lived and he died and he rose again and he is coming again. And if that is the Jesus that you have put your trust in today, you are a Christian and I exhort you, that's a nice church word, right? Please keep going. Consider each other. Encourage each other to love and good works. Speak Jesus to each other. Not as a band-aid so that that other person doesn't hurt and make you feel bad, or not so that you feel right, not for any other reason, but because Jesus is your most desperate need and everyone's most desperate need. And if this Jesus is not, if you're still wrestling with who he is and you're just wondering about it, you are in the right place. Because, and you are so welcome. I want you to consider that in Jesus there are no spiritual superheroes. You don't have to be one either. All you need is Jesus. So keep considering him. Maybe today is the day that you come. I pray that it is. Lord, would you Lord, again, I that image of a child trying to scoop out all the water of the ocean with bare hands, that's what I feel like. More beautiful, more precious, you are, Lord, you are chief among 10,000, 10,000s of 10,000s of 10,000s. We are yours, and you are ours. There is no one like you. So Lord, would you just let your presence rest in us and take up our burdens like you've promised and give us ordinary faith. Ordinary faith that follows you every day with every breath in every second. In your name we pray. Amen.